choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're so very grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. On these Friday sessions of Abounding Grace, you know that we love to take up issues of contemporary Christian theology, issues of worship, issues of doctrinal life and practice. And today on Abounding Grace, we are continuing our study and our discussion on a theology of worship. And this is really important for the church today. If you have tuned in yesterday and in the previous weeks, you know that we've had Pastor Mike Brown here on Abounding Grace Radio of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California, as we discuss these issues. And so important, dear listener, for you to consider what the Lord desires of us as we come before Him in worship. So we're going to pick up with where we left off yesterday, a theology of worship, worship as God commands. And so let's take up that great subject. Right. And just to kind of summarize here so far, you know, this is a really important point. I think today, Mike, people equate legalism with obedience. And that's not legalism. Honoring God's commands out of gratitude because we're so overwhelmed by the grace that He's given to us is our reasonable service. But legalism is imposing man-made commands upon us that God has not commanded and then binding the consciences of men in that. So it's really important to say that. And that's why what Mike just touched on is really important. God is protecting us in worship. You know, God is protecting us. You know, Psalm 50 talks about, you know, you who draw near to me, guard your ways, lest I tear you in pieces. And the point is that when we trample His holiness and don't listen, it's a danger zone. Worship is a danger zone. And I think we forget that today. You know, we see worship as a playground. We see worship as a carnival. And that's not what it is. And, you know, Colossians warned about that. New Testament passage, Colossians 2, he talks about worship. He talks about the Colossian church getting into all sorts of weird angel worship and strange stuff and going back to the Old Testament laws and sacrificial system, all that stuff they were imposing upon them. And you know what Paul says there? These things have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. That's a really powerful verse because he's saying there is self-imposed worship. And you see what we're trying to say today on Abounding Grace is God loves His people so much. As He calls them and summons them into His presence, He's protecting them and guiding them and leading them, as Mike said, so that we would be nourished on the good words of faith and the doctrine which we've carefully followed and be fed with His means to strengthen our faith.
Right, and what is it that strengthens us but Jesus Christ, the bread of life? And so really the question we have to ask is, are we hearing Christ in the worship service? You know, Colossians goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I think it would be helpful maybe for our listeners, you know, if you take an inventory of everything in the worship service on Sunday, it should either be God's word to us or our response, our word back to God. You know, so in the worship service, when the law is read, that's God's word to us. When we sing, that's our word to God, which also teaches and admonishes one another with the word of Christ. But primarily, there's this vertical conversation going up and down because God is reaching down through these means and feeding His sheep. What did Jesus say? Remember in John 21, when He commissioned Peter and the disciples, He said, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs, feed my lambs, feed them. That's what God does every Lord's Day through His word. We're being nourished and fed on the things that He gives us, which is why the Protestant Reformation often called the worship service a divine service. In other words, God is the one who actually serves. He's the one who reaches down, just as he did when he set aside his garments there in the upper room and girded himself and stooped down and washed the feet of the disciples. He served them. Well, God actually serves his people on the Lord's Day, but he does it with the things that he knows we need, just as a parent feeds his children or her children the things that she knows as a mother that those kids need. Well, so does God do it as our Heavenly Father, and he gives us his word and his sacrament.
Yeah, what a wonderful explanation. And you know, I think you're really explaining something for us, Mike, that's important. You know, we tend to view Old Testament worship, you know, there they were, if you think about Old Testament worship, they were kept out by veils and a tabernacle and a temple. You know, we come to New Testament worship, and what we don't really think about is that we are really now in the face of God. We're right before his face. This is why Hebrews is telling us we now have boldness and access. We come with boldness into the most holy place. So, you know, can you imagine somebody coming into the most holy place in the Old Testament, barging in there? What would have happened? and here now, we have this great privilege to come right before the face of God. And as Mike just described, what's happening? Well, God is washing us. God is cleansing us by his word. We are meeting with God. And maybe that's the important thing today that just has to be recovered is a sense that what worship is a divine service, as Mike said, where we're actually meeting with God himself. I think everyone tends to think today that the real stuff happens out there. And we've lost any sort of sense that no, we're coming before the face of God, and the grace, the means of grace that we receive is actually being given and received in corporate worship when God's people gather on Sunday. I think it's sad that's lost today, you know?
Yeah, and this is also why we need to remember to follow his commandments. You know, Jesus Christ, of course, fulfilled all the commandments, as we know, Chris, and he fulfilled everything in the Mosaic Law, fulfilled all 10 commandments through his act of obedience. But the fact that he fulfilled those commandments doesn't give us the right now to break those commandments. You know, the fact that he fulfilled the 6th commandment doesn't give you and me the right to go out and murder people. And the same is with regard to the 2nd commandment. Just because Christ fulfilled that in his obedience and his death doesn't mean that we get to worship God any old way we please, but rather we need to follow what Scripture says. And this, as you've pointed out, keeps us safe. It's also what feeds us, what nourishes us, and blesses us. But then I guess one of the questions that we might have to tackle then, if these elements are clear from something like Acts 2:42, we worship God by his word to us in the preaching, in baptism, the Lord's Supper, which maybe we can talk about in future shows, and then we respond in prayer and, you know, and the common fellowship that we have together as his people. Well, what about all the other things that go on in worship? You know, if we're saying that we should only worship God in the way that he has commanded, I guess, Chris, I could see a listener maybe thinking right now, what about the time? You know, so you guys worship at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings and 6 p.m. in the evening. Where do you find that command in Scripture?
Right, and there's always been an important distinction that has been made between what we call the elements of worship and the circumstances of worship. And Mike has outlined already those elements that we can't tamper with, that the Lord has put in place to protect us and to bless us and to worship him according to his word. And so that's why in worship, the preaching of the word is central. We never tamper with that. That has to be the central place given. You have certain things that the Lord has commanded as the elements of worship in prayer and in offering up thanksgiving offerings and these sort of things. But Mike, when we talk about, you know, the circumstances of worship, obviously what time we meet, what the pew should look like, I don't know. You got a whole bunch of these sort of issues that come down to circumstances. And, you know, the way that we decide that, God, this is why God has given elders. Mm-hmm. This is why God has given church leaders, so that we would be guided and that we would prayerfully seek the Lord's wisdom and that we would exercise wisdom and prudence in how we conduct ourselves in the church of God in terms of the circumstances of worship. Mm-hmm. And so it is an important distinction today because we're not micromanaging everything here in a unprofitable kind of way, but the Lord has given us freedom in terms of the circumstances to use godly wisdom and biblical discretion.
Right. Yeah, another way maybe we can think about elements and circumstances is that the elements are the what of worship, what we must do. And that must be strictly word, sacrament, prayer, and praise. Everything in the worship service, the benediction is God's word to us. The creed that we confess is our prayer to God. The reading of the law is God's word to us. The declaration of pardon is God's word to us. The sermon is God's word to us. The Lord's Supper is God's word to us. The singing is our response to God. Prayer of confession, our response to God. So back and forth, we see this. But then with regard to the circumstances, as you said, we need to be led. We need to operate there on a continuum of wisdom. So really, we think of maybe a horizontal line of less wise moving to more wise, and everything that is circumstantial, everything that is not the what of worship, but rather the when, the how, those things operate on that continuum of wisdom. So what time should we meet? Well, there's no express command. We know that we have to meet on the Lord's Day. That's quite clear and easy to show from Scripture. Should we meet at 9:30 a.m.? Well, the elders have decided for our culture and our point in time that that's a wise move. Well, why not meet at daybreak as they did in Geneva? For us in California, that's not going to be so wise. You know, back then it was easier. Everybody got up at the sound of the rooster and the rising of the sun, and you walked over to church. So these are circumstantial things. You know, how should the minister dress? Should he come out in shorts and flip-flops? There would be some people who say, yeah, that's fine because he's showing that he's one of the people. Well, is that really wise? Because the minister's dress actually sets a tone for the worship service. If he comes out in a t-shirt and shorts or Hawaiian shirt, I like to think of it as seeing that kind of dress from a judge in a courtroom. Would you appreciate a judge coming out in a Hawaiian shirt? Would he really set a tone of reverence there? But these are circumstantial things. It's a continuum of wisdom. And that's why we have elders, as you pointed out. They're the ones ultimately that make the call on the circumstantial issues.
Now, just to close this out today, you know, when we do tamper, though, with the elements, it is a very, very sad thing that happens. You know, I've seen it where the whole, if you were to draw two categories, us and God, and that dialogue is going back and forth. And what tends to happen today is that, you know, we enter into worship and there's no sense that we're meeting with God because the elements of worship have been laid aside. Everything is focused on what man wants. And it's sad. If you were to diagram it today, what you would see is that people have tried to remove God himself from worship. And so that's the importance of this distinction. We never want to tamper with the elements because they're put in place not only to protect us, but to make sure that the Lord himself is central. The Lord himself is, as Mike referenced in John 13, washing and tending to us. Now, Peter struggled with that. Peter said, "You'll never wash me." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, Peter, you have no part with me." That's what we need. And that is what our Lord does for us in worship. Well, we hope these programs have been a blessing to you. You can visit us on the web at agradio.org. And to learn more about who we are and what we believe, many resources there for you on that website. You can also write to us. We would be greatly encouraged by that. At Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thank you for tuning in today. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.